weapons through international constraints. His nuclear doctrine was based on the assumption that every industrial nation would, in time, possess its own nuclear arsenal composed of a panoply of weapons adapted to its specific situation, and the importance of Israel's nuclear development has increased to a point that it might constitute an Israeli force de frappe doctrine, a doctrine playing a vital role in Israeli defense and strategic thinking. This, in turn, gives a powerful impetus to the arms build-up of the Arab and Muslim states in the region. Something must be done to arrest this. The September 25, 1989 issue of US News and World Report contains an article on Iraq's current military build-up, upon which Israel's defense minimum Israeli Defense Minister Yitzhak Rabin warns that Iraq is potentially the most dangerous nation in the Middle East. Let's not even talk about Iraqi chemical weapons, nuclear development and missiles, says a senior intelligence officer in Tel Aviv. They have more tanks than the French and enough troops to maintain security on their 1,000-mile border with Iran, and still send 10 divisions across Jordan to attack us. If any further proof is needed that the Middle East situation is completely out of control, the report appearing in the Jerusalem Post of September 23, 1989, entitled, "Israeli Missile Capability Causes Concern in Moscow," Soviet Foreign Minister Ehud Shevardnadze is expected to take up the question of Israel's ballistic missile capability with Foreign Minister Moshe Rinz when they meet in New York this month. The Israel Foreign and Defense Ministries have both denied knowledge of the firing of a 1,300 km range ballistic missile into the Mediterranean between Libya and Greece last week. The Soviet news agency TASS, quoting Soviet Defense Ministry data, reported such a firing from the region of Jerusalem. The Washington Post has quoted US officials as saying the Soviet report was accurate. In the past, Moscow has shown great sensitivity to and expressed concern about Israel's ballistic capabilities and reports of the Jericho second missile. The matter has been raised in bilateral meetings at the highest level, with Israel consistently trying to reassure the Kremlin on this. In July 1987, Radio Moscow's Hebrew language service accused Israel of developing a nuclear-capable missile, reportedly called the Jericho second. The Soviets reacted angrily to the reported launching, calling the missile a threat to its security, and warned Israel not to continue developing a weapon that is said was capable of reaching its southern border. The Geneva-based International Defense Review reported at the same time that Israel had successfully fired the missile into the Mediterranean, and that it covered 820 kilometers on the test. According to TASS, Israel launched a ballistic missile in January 1988. According to Jane's Defense Weekly, Israel conducted a second secret test of its Jericho second surface-to-surface tactical nuclear missile in September 1988. Jane said the missile's projected maximum range is about 1,500 km. The magazine pointed out that in that case it would be capable of hitting the capitals of all of Israel's potential enemies, including Israel, which launched its first satellite on September 19 last year, has always refused to comment on whether it is developing missiles, let alone nuclear weapons. Strategic expert Dor Gold told the Jerusalem Post that over the last 2 years the Soviets have been increasingly sensitive to the proliferation of missile technology along a belt of countries from Libya to India close to their southern border. 50 The Soviets have been seeking areas of policy coordination on the Middle East with the US, said Gold. The missile proliferation issue could become as useful to them for this purpose as the Palestinian issue. In the following final chapters of this book, we will attempt to define the crucial issues, discuss a way out of this onrushing nightmare, and propose a solution to the Israeli-Palestinian conflict. Chapter 12: The Issues. I end discussing the major issues between Israel and the Palestinians. An attempt will be made to clear away the accumulated diplomatic debris which has piled up over the years, and to dispel the clouds of rhetoric which have obscured the facts to the point where the issues have been made difficult to identify and, hence, impossible to solve. In this, we will follow a loose format consisting of a summary statement of the issue, and, where appropriate, the position of each party with respect thereto, and a brief analysis of the merits of the arguments on both sides. Roman numerals are used simply to identify the issues, not to indicate relative priority or importance. As stated earlier, this book is concerned only with the primary and fundamental issues dividing Israel and the Palestinians, that is, the status of the West Bank and Gaza and the Palestinian refugee question. These are the explosive issues, the Middle East time bomb on which time is fast running out. The question of the future status of Jerusalem, however important, does not have the same urgency, and should be left for future negotiations. Similarly, the status of the Golan Heights is a separate question involving Syria, and should also be left for future negotiations between the parties. Issue I, the problem of the Palestinian refugees. The Palestinian position on the refugees in 1948, during Israel's War of Independence, some 700,000 men, women, and children were driven from their homes in Palestine by a combination of Israeli military forces, roving bands of terrorists led by Menachem Begin and Yitzhak Shami. Combined with an orchestrated propaganda campaign by the Israeli government to frighten the Palestinians into fleeing their homes. These refugees have never been allowed to return to their homes and lands, which were promptly confiscated by the Israeli army, and are now within the boundaries of Israel proper, not the West Bank today. These refugees, with their descendants, number in excess of 1 million, many of which have been living in settlements and camps under wretched conditions over the past 40 years. The refugees seek to return to their lands in Israel or to receive just compensation. The Israeli position on the refugee problem. The Israelis contend that the Palestinian refugees left their homes and lands voluntarily, trusting the promises of the Arab states that they could return with the victorious Arab armies. Israel argues that the refugees abandoned their lands, which were then confiscated by Israel. The Israeli justification for this summary confiscation, and for not allowing the refugees to return after hostilities ceased, is, they lost the war, they lose the land. Analysis 1. The facts pertaining to this issue are fully discussed and detailed in Chapter 4 entitled The Arab-Israeli Wars. In summary, the Palestinian position is completely justified by Simmer Flappen. The Israeli position, according to Flappen, is a myth and pure propaganda. Flappen's position is also supported by other prominent Israeli historians too. In further support of the Palestinian position, the United Nations Charter, under which the State of Israel came into being, prohibits the acquisition of land by conquest. UN Resolution 242 also calls for a just settlement of the Palestinian refugee question. Issue 2, the return by Israel of the occupied territories on the West Bank and Gaza. The Palestinian position on the return of the occupied territories. Israel should withdraw all of its forces from the occupied lands on the West Bank and Gaza and return to its 1967 borders. Justification for the Palestinian position. UN Resolution 242 promulgated by the Security Council on November 22, 1967, after the conclusion of the Six-Day War, reads in part as follows, emphasizing the inadmissibility of acquiring territory by war and the need to work for a just and lasting peace in which every state in the area emphasizing. Further, that the member states, in accepting the Charter of the United Nations, have undertaken a commitment to act in one. Affirms that the fulfillment of the Charter principles requires the establishment of a just and lasting peace in the Middle East, which should include the application of both the following principles, I, withdrawal of Israeli armed forces from territories occupied in, II, termination of all claims, or state of belligerency and respect for, and acknowledgement of, the sovereignty of territorial integrity. And political independence of every state in the area and their right to live in peace with secure and recognized boundaries free from threats or acts of force. Emphasis. UN Resolution 338, enacted October 22, 1973, following the October 1973 war, calls upon the parties concerned to start immediately after the ceasefire to implement the Security Council's Resolution 242 in all its parts. Israel has done nothing to implement UN Resolution 242 or 338. Issue 3, the establishment of a Palestinian state. The Palestinian position on a Palestinian state. The Palestinian people have an undeniable legal right to self-determination, and to a sovereign state to be established on the West Bank and Gaza. Justification for the Palestinian position. The plan of part